Welcome to Another Mother Podcast, a safe place for stepmoms to unravel the blended chaos and share lessons learned, the good, the bad, and the high conflict.
We're your hosts, Dana.
And Amanda.
Just a couple of stepmoms who have struggled to find their role. Now let's grab a drink and talk some shit.
So today we are actually welcoming Billy and Jordan from the, all the way from the UK. They're from Instagram. That's how we connected, and they are at the Stepmom Collective. They are our very first Another Mother guest, so we are so excited for today.
Woohoo!
Billy, do you want to start first and maybe introduce yourselves and let us know a little bit about you guys?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, thank you so much to both of you for having us. I actually had no idea that we were your first guests, so I feel slightly honoured. Thank you very much. I am Billy. I'm 34 years old, and there's four kids in total in my mad blended family. Two of them are my stepsons, who are 15 and 10, and then I've got two young twins, girls, who are 19 months. So we've got, you know, it's like a little soccer football team over here. And I've been a stepmom for, did I say that already? I don't think so. No, for 6 years, coming up to 6 years. And it's been a big journey, and we're now getting into new hurdles of it, but I won't reveal too much right now. But thanks again for having us.
Oh, thanks for coming on.
You're already forgetting what you said and what you haven't said.
That's how we roll here. So, Jordan, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? How many kids? How old you are? We need to know your background of everything.
Yeah, we want the whole thing, the whole life story. Oh, yeah. We can do another episode on that.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know I was going to have to say how old I am, but I'm excited because I'm 29. And I'm just trying to say that as much as possible before I turn 30. So I'm 29. Hi. thanks for asking. I have been with my now husband for 6 years. So when I met him, he had a son who was 5, who's now 11. And we also have two daughters. One is nearly 5 and the other one is nearly 2. So, yeah, another full house over here.
Absolutely.
So before we get into our topic today, did you guys maybe want to quickly mention your petition?
Yes, let's get that in.
Jordan, you should talk about it because you've had a big day with it today.
Oh.
I'm all petitioned out. It's been a big day today with the petition. So let's explain what the petition is. So in the UK, fertility treatment is available on the National Health Service for couples who are struggling with infertility. But we recently discovered that in most parts of the UK, couples are being denied access to the recommended fertility treatments on the National Health Service where one of them has a partner from a previous relationship. So it basically means that women whose partners have kids already are not able to access IVF and other types of fertility treatment. So we discovered this quite organically through a conversation that we were having on a live on our Instagram page with another stepmom. And I was shocked. I think a lot of us were shocked. It wasn't something we were aware of. And I went to Google to see if I could find some sort of petition, because we have this process here where you can launch a petition online, and if you get 100,000 signatures on that petition, it has to be debated in Parliament. So okay. I was like, there must be one somewhere that we can maybe share, get a few signatures added to it. And there wasn't. So I was like, right, we need to write one. So we've written a petition. We've launched the petition. We launched it last week or maybe the week before. I'm losing track. But it has 8,000 signatures already. Wow. Which I'm pretty pleased with. It's gone pretty mad. It's been shared by some really influential people. And today we have kind of launched a second part to the campaign where we're urging people to write to their local MPs, and we provided like a template letter that they can get and send it off to their local parliament members to go and debate in our Houses of Parliament. So next week as well, that I don't know when this podcast is going to go out, but today we found out that, is it going to go out today?
Yeah, we'll do it
okay,
today.
I won't say too much, but next week we are going to be making waves. We've been speaking to some media kind of people and we've had some agreements made about things. So anyway, there'll be more to come. But yeah, it's really exciting.
That is so exciting. Yeah, honestly, I think Dana and I were both surprised about it as well, because I mean, fertility treatments aren't covered under our healthcare system, period. But to have some people covered and some not in the UK, was a bit mind-blowing for us, I think.
Yeah, I wondered how that would be received by like an American audience, because I didn't know if it was like, well, you're just lucky that you get anything on the National Health Service. But yeah, the discrimination behind it is what's really shocking. Billy, I don't know if there's anything you want to add to that.
No, I mean, just sign it and share it to any of the listeners here. I mean, we appreciate anybody's eyes on it. And whilst when it comes to the actual signatures, when they verify it, perhaps over on your side, it might not count towards it, but it definitely raises awareness. And so the more visibility on it means the stronger the campaign is. So we appreciate any support at all, really.
That was going to be my next question. If signatures here counted, or is that something you guys knew?
I don't think so. From petitions that I've signed before, I've always seen in the small print that, you know, you have to verify that you're a UK citizen or wherever the country of origin of the petition is. And right. I imagine that when you're getting into the big volumes and they're sort of verifying the petition and who signed it, because, for example, I could create 100,000 email addresses under my name.
True.
And sign it. But it's never going to be verified, is it? So I think they have to definitely check the validity of who is signing it. Yeah,
that makes sense.
But you can still share it, because I'm sure you have people that are following you from the UK, and if there are other people that maybe have a UK audience, just sharing it would be probably helpful.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's what we wanted to get out for you guys, for sure. We'll share that until we're blue in the face, because yeah, that's just. To me, it's completely like just not becoming a biological parent all on its own just because you married someone with a child, to me, is just completely insane. So yeah, whatever we can do to help.
Well, and blended families are so common right now too. Like there has to be a lot of women who are affected by that.
Yeah, it's so common. We hear from so many of our followers who are going through infertility, and it's like, they're looking after somebody else's child and society is telling them that they're not a mum, but they're being treated as though they already have their own kids when it comes to looking at whether they're eligible for fertility treatment. So it's quite contradictory. I think it's probably just a really outdated small print that just really needs to be revisited.
Well, that's awesome that you guys are bringing it to attention and getting some support. I think you guys have done a lot, even just in the, week and a half since you released the petition.
Yeah. It's kind of just really taking off, which is good. And we're excited to see where it takes us. So, yeah, thank you to everybody for all of your support.
Absolutely.
So our episode topic today actually is a little bit far away from that topic. Dana, do you want to introduce us?
Yeah, so I think when we all kind of met each other, I'll use quotes on that one, online, I think we all kind of came to the conclusion that we all have some stepchildren who are preteen / teenage years. And that all on its own, I think, has its own struggles and obstacles to overcome. So I think it'd be really cool if we were able to kind of touch on that today and kind of, you know, go over our experiences and what we're all dealing with at the moment. Because I know it's a struggle to be blended anyway, but I think each individual age group has its own set of like craziness. So
Yeah. And it's interesting that we have all been in our step parenting roles for approximately 6 years. So we have seen our kids in their different stages. So.
Oh man. Yeah. Yes, it's that's hard. For sure. So I think the boundaries are something that we were kind of touching on a little bit last time we all kind of spoke together. I know I myself have had to kind of adapt to each age group. And there's certain things that I used to do all the time that I no longer do anymore. Billy, was there anything now that the boys are older that you feel like you've changed as far as boundaries as a stepmom?
Well, boundaries now are just so different. Like when you used to negotiate with a 4-year-old and a 9-year-old, like, well, you're not having ice cream or I don't know, something like that. But now it's, they're learning about consequences and that sort of thing. So yeah. It's really, really hard to set boundaries because I've had one hell of a day of it. But I've had a realization today that you can have in your head all of the boundaries and all of the limits to what you will and won't do as a stepmother. But when you're actually in the thick of it, you don't have a clue. You don't know how the response is going to be from your stepkids. You don't know how emotional you're going to feel about stuff. And I realize that I haven't done today as a stepmother. So every day I do with my kids is a new one. The same as being a biological mother is every day is a new one. And I'm learning something new about myself, about my kids, about what I'm willing to put up with as a parent. And today with my youngest stepson, I got to a limit. He'd obviously come in from school hangry and we hadn't picked up on that, first of all. So he came in quite excited. He got to turn his phone on after school, was playing Pokemon Go or whatever he was playing. And then we said, right, put your phone down now. And he didn't listen. Put your phone down now, didn't listen. And so my partner said, right, if you don't put it down, we're going to take it away from you. And so, like, I had to quickly get in line with whatever my partner was saying to make sure I was on his team, like try and figure out without communicating what we're supposed to be doing here. Anyway, took the phone away, all hell broke loose, started throwing himself on the floor. He was absolutely devastated. It then transpired that he didn't want to go swimming on Saturday because he hates swimming, blah, blah, blah. And I, honestly, I need vodka in the eyeballs. So for me, swimming is my boundary, right? Because there is no way any child of mine is growing up without being a strong swimmer. I grew up as a strong swimmer. I want them to be comfortable in the sea, in the pool, whatever. It's a non-negotiable for me. But I found myself getting into a conversation with this 10-year-old and I realized that that's my boundaries. Like there are just certain things I need to stop having a conversation about. Not everything needs a conversation. Sometimes as a guardian and as a parent, you just have to make the final decision. A 10-year-old doesn't get a say in it. But I was already like neck deep in negotiating with a 10-year-old. And I was like, how do I back out of this? So I went silent. That was it. And I wish I'd handled it differently. Now, looking back 2 hours, I just think, oh, I wish I'd done it differently. So I know that's a bit off topic of boundaries, but it's you just don't know what your boundary is going to be when you're in the thick of it, because you can have all of your theory and best practices and learnings, but you're just doing your best as a stepmom. You're just winging it, basically. That's what I think.
I'm glad Absolutely. You said that, actually, because I think a lot of people, when they are becoming parents, like of their own biological children, they're told, like, you're not going to know what to do all the time. You have to figure things out as you go. But then as step parents, we're kind of just, people assume that we're just going to do, you know, and every situation is, it's not black and white every single day. There's something that comes up that's not expected, you know?
Yeah. I think they expect us to handle it like, well, just people who will put up with anything, first of all, that, you know, the way, however we're spoken to, whatever the kids say, we just say, okay then, okay. And if we handle it any other way, then I feel like we're a bit hung out to dry, you know? It's sort of like, well, you could have done that better. You're not their mom. Perhaps you shouldn't have said that kind of thing. And that's what society puts on you.
Absolutely.
My partner never says that to me. That doesn't happen in my house. But that's just old school attitude towards stepmotherhood. So, yeah.
I think it's really good that you've said that, though, because this is what we don't have narrative around, at least in the UK. Like, I would be afraid to complain at all about my stepchild because I'd be so worried that I'd be seen as this evil stepmother. That narrative is still so rife over here. But I know that Billy loves her kids to bits, and it's that thing that you, when you become a biological mum, everybody tells you it's okay if you have hard days or if you find it hard sometimes. Like, you can still love your kids but struggle, be annoyed with them sometimes, tell them off, scream at them even. Like, and it's fine. We know as mothers that it's hard. And it's the same with being a stepmom, but there's just like so much stigma attached to it. And that's the conversation that I think has really been missing. And that's really what we're trying to address. But I mean, to be honest, what you're describing really, really reminds me of like my daughter when she was three. So I feel like I've got this.
I find if you do the whole venting thing to others, or maybe somebody who isn't in a blended family or doesn't know much about being a blended family, it's just like, well, they either think you're kind of, you know, bad mouthing maybe the kid, or that it's like, oh, well, this is what you signed up for, right? And it's like, well, no, I'm still allowed to vent. I'm still a human. I vent about my other child.
Yeah, 100. All my kids are assholes. That's the point.
Exactly.
All of them equally.
Amanda said
I love them all equally. They all equally annoy the shit out of me. Yes, absolutely.
Exactly. I'm glad we agree on that.
I was telling my husband the other day that I think I was telling Dana too that I probably shouldn't do this, but I tell my kids like who's my favorite at any given time. So, like, the other day, the two older ones kept coming in from outside, walking through my house with their shoes on. And the littlest one takes his shoes off outside the door and comes in all nicely. And I'm like, see, guys, this is why he's my favorite right now. And they all just look at me.
That's it's nice true. That you chose him, because I always pet my dog. And I'm like, this is the only kid who listens.
Oh, my God, I need to get a dog.
That's so funny. What about you, Jordan? Do you feel like you have had to change your boundaries since your stepson has grown and changed?
Yeah, I think we are going through this transition like right now. So it's happened as my stepson has started secondary school. So they go to secondary school here from 11 to 16. So he's gone up to secondary school. It was meant to start in September, but because of the pandemic, he didn't actually start until March. So since March to we're now in early May, the change that we've seen in him has been drastic. And what it's meant is that where previously we'd finally gotten to a place where we were kind of in a flow with things, we didn't really need to talk to the other parents so much about stuff. Everything had kind of settled down. Now things are arising and we have to now kind of, I think, revisit how we co-parent. So like how much involvement do we want to have with what goes on when he is at each other's homes? So do we want to show a united front with his mum and his stepdad if he does something out of line when he's at home? Equally, are they going to support us if he does something here? Personally, I'm not sure that we're at that stage. I think we might have to get agreement that like whatever happens in each household is that household's business, and it's not for the other one to comment on the other. I think that might be the route that we go down. But those are the kind of conversations that we're having to have, and like the things that we're having to think about. Because, you know, he's turning into a teenager and he's doing teenager things and he's changing and he's pushing boundaries and he's seeing what he can get away with. I'm really worried though that he's going to try to play us off against each other, and we might enter into this whole thing of like, I don't know, if we're being stricter, maybe he'll start saying that he doesn't want to come here, or if, you know, his mum's being more strict, he might use us to play her off, like he might try and play us off against each other, you know. I'm not sure how to do that. Have you guys had any experience with that stuff? Maybe you can give me some advice.
The whole time.
My stepdaughter's done it for years.
Yeah, cool. Tell me. What do I do?
You mean you guys don't go through this with boys?
Oh my God.
Maybe.
Yeah, I
feel like that's what it is.
I feel like my stepdaughter, she's obviously very smart and she's younger than I think everybody else's stepkids here. She's 9. But she definitely can sense that my spouse and her mom are not on good terms, and her mom and I are certainly not on good terms. So she definitely, like, she'll try to over-exaggerate things to me if she's talking to me. And like I was saying to my husband last night, like, even if I'm not engaging with her or like prompting her or encouraging it, she's still, my mom did this, or, you know, she's just kind of trying to, she's trying to be an adult and figure it out. But it's like, I don't want her stuff at my house.
Yeah. And I don't know if there's much, there's just so many things that I think are just beyond our control. And I know we're a little bit more of the rule house, where there's, I say the rule house, but there's structure and there's just some responsibility that you have to take care of yourself. And so on a fairly regular basis, like, we've heard that she goes there and she's, you know, kind of going on as if she's some slave here, when really it's just, you have to clean up your dishes and clean your room is really the essentially what we're trying to build in you. So I think she goes there, and I think it just depends on what her mom's reaction is. So typically her mom's reaction will be to get on board with her and start bashing us like crazy. Whereas when she comes to us about stuff that's maybe upsetting her at her mom and her stepdad's house, it's more or less like, huh, okay, well, did you talk to them about it? You know, where did you go? Where did you go with that? What happened? Maybe there was a circumstance. Maybe you can, you know, go back to it, maybe chit chat with them a little bit. But I know for a fact that she'll just go over there and be dramatic, and they will make it worse than what it really is by like helping her bash us. Whereas we're just like, well, maybe there was a good reason for it. You know, have you asked them? Is it something you want to talk to them about? But honestly, I just think most of it's just beyond our control. And hopefully they'll just pick up on those cues of like, hey, we're not going to sit here and bash them with you, but we'll talk to you about it.
Yeah.
And hopefully, I think something that I definitely cling on to, which I think is quite common, is you just think, when they're older, they'll look back and they'll see that we were trying to, you know, instill these values in them and trying to be the grown-ups and not getting involved in the back and forth of it all. And you just hold on to that kind of like hope that they'll look back at things with a different perspective when they're adults.
Mm-hmm. That is the hope. Yeah, I agree with you there for sure.
Do you Another feel, drink. Sorry, I'll start with Billy. We're having a hard time with four of us. Do you feel like you struggle with your kids going back and forth between households? Like, are the households different enough that it is a transition period?
Oh, 100%. I find, because we have the boys almost every day after school. The eldest, he picks and chooses when he comes here after school. Mainly he chooses to go to his mother's because he has a lot more freedom after school, you know, getting changed out of his school uniform, straight out the door with his friends, that kind of thing. Whereas here it's sit down, you do your homework, we'll all sit down together as a family, and then we'll have dinner. Tell me what teenage boy wants to do that. Maybe no teenage boy wants to do that, but I think it's important because I think it puts good values in you for having the family time. But when we have them on the weekend, you know, that's a whole weekend and a week of not like a real length of time. So Friday, halfway through Saturday, we're figuring out how everyone's been in the week, what's been going on back at mum's, has it affected your moods for this week, for this weekend? And then by the end of the weekend on Monday, you know, it's time for them to go back to school and it starts all over again. So that's really, really quite hard. It used to be a lot worse. It used to be very, very toxic between all of us, I would say. And I talk about it again and again and again, is that time is a wonderful healer. So we did go through court proceedings, and that was probably the lowest point. But now I do actually think that, especially my partner and his ex, they do show more of a united front in front of the kids that they're more on the same page when it comes to discipline or having conversations with the kids about stuff. They'll go for it hammer and tong when it's just those two on the phone because they love an argument. But even with her and me, we're a bit more civil now. And I think that that shows the kids, oh, we can't do so much of this whole playing off against one another because they're going to check because they're obviously communicating better, which has been huge. It's been swallowing a lot of pride. It's, you know, me moving a lot to try and accommodate that. I mean, I wouldn't piss on her if she was on fire, let's say that. But I think that for the kids, it's really important.
This is definitely vodka and not all the time that glass.
It's important.
I mean, I think we can all relate to that one for sure. And that's all you can do is like just be, I think, civil in front of each other. Like we've always been, at least the friendlier. I mean, even through court proceedings and lawyers and mediators and everything, they've always said we're the friendlier parents, which has been helpful for us in a lot of ways. But in a lot of ways, like it hasn't gotten us anywhere as far as, you know, custody or anything like that, or decision making or anything like that, which has not been nice. And sometimes we kind of think like, why bother? Why bother even being nice? But I think at this point, we're just like, we're seeing that my stepdaughter is like, at least it's not like a bashing fest the whole time in front of everybody, you know, and she can like, you know, whenever we drop them off, even on Thursday, we dropped her off and her stepdad was outside and he went to go kind of like run inside. But we had a dog with us in the back and she was like, oh, like come meet the dog. And he was like, really? We're like, yeah, come on over, come pet the dog. And she like, you could just see like the instant just like release of just like, she doesn't have to worry about us fighting or anything because we were the bigger people and inviting him over to come talk to us or to come see us, and something that was made her really happy anyway.
Another reason why I need to get a dog.
Right?
The universe is telling me everywhere I go, I'm getting these signs that I need to get a dog.
You don't.
Either that or another baby, guys.
Have another baby. Don't have a dog.
I was going to say, get a dog.
I'm on the fence. I could go either way. Have a baby or a dog, or maybe both.
Both, for God's sake. Yeah. but so, it is an icebreaker, those dogs. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Thing. My dog is pretty, so people are always trying to talk to me.
In fact, the dog has been amazing in the last year or so, especially during lockdown, is that my youngest stepson loves this dog. Loves this dog, and he actually called a few times and he said, oh, can mum and me take the dog out for a walk? So they came round and picked my dog up.
Imagine that.
Took my dog for a walk, which was,
me and Dana are like,
really, what are you gonna do to the dog? But also, you know, that was one less chore I needed to do, and I was so appreciative of it. I actually messaged her to say thank you. That's like, that really meant a lot, so thanks.
That's bigger.
Yeah, it meant a lot to him as well.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's wonderful. I think my daughter, my stepdaughter's mom would be like, oops, it's off leash.
Sorry, he's not up to date on his shots.
But that's really cool that, like, honestly, I hope one day we're able to do something like that, because that's really special. Like, big of her to be like, hey, like, that dog exists over there. My son loves him or her. And yeah, let's go see if we can take it for a walk. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, especially really something amazing to do for your stepson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So nice for him.
Jordan, do you feel like you guys struggle with the different households?
We don't struggle because I wouldn't say that we're strict, but I think, like Dana was saying, we have very clear things that are expected of each of the children, and everybody knows where they stand, and we are big on eating together and doing things together. And so I think as a result, we don't run into too many issues. I will say, though, that I think that's the privilege of being the household where we have him the least amount of time. So he doesn't live with us full time, and I know that it wouldn't be as rosy if he did, because he did homeschool in here for 2 weeks, I think, or maybe 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it definitely wasn't the fun house then, you know. So I think that is one of the upshots, that we have him every other weekend, and so we can afford to make it really nice, and we can afford to concentrate on the boundaries and enforce them and show a united front, because it's like short periods of time. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe when he goes home, somehow they don't have the same experience of him in their house, and so it's whether we support the discipline that goes on over there, but that's not always reciprocated. So I'm usually quite hesitant to get involved. I'm kind of like, look,
especially when
we just can't agree. Like, as much as we try to agree, there are always things that come up that we don't agree on. So I think it's best that we just, like, we have our way of doing things, they have their way of doing things, and unless it's something like major, the whole united front thing, I don't think it's really going to work out for our setup at the moment.
Yeah.
Do you, Jordan, I have to ask, do you feel like, because you only, you know, have them a certain percentage of the time, when they're it is time for discipline, do you find that hard because you only have them for a shorter period of time?
Yeah, it really sucks when, you know, you've got to tell him off, or he's going to be throwing a strop or sulking all day, and, you know, he's got to go home that night. Yes, it definitely comes into it. But I would say that the more that time goes on, I feel like that's a bit of an insecurity thing. And we're kind of, not that we don't care, but I think we're more and more secure in our family dynamic as time goes on, where, you know, if we have to tell him off before he goes home, it's not the end of the world, because he knows that we love him really, and that he'll come back and things will be fine. But we haven't had to do a lot of discipline yet. Like I say, like, I think it's coming.
That's wonderful.
I feel a storm brewing. Billy actually gave me that advice the other week. He came home from school on a Friday, and I think I messaged Billy and I was like, I don't know who this child is. Like, this child is literally, I saw him on Tuesday, it's now Friday, and this boy that I don't even recognize is just coming from school. Billy was like, look, just tomorrow he'll be normal again. He's been at school, he's been around all these other influences. It's just got to wear off. And that's like a new thing. You're both nodding, so I guess that you have that with your girls.
Hormones, man.
I feel like the girls just go through these changes a bit sooner than boys.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, we always say, like, whenever it's transition day, or we do get her, like, and they also get her when it's our week, they get a dinner with her, and then we get a dinner with her on their week. And there's some days where I'm like, I have butterflies in my stomach, because I'm like, I don't know who I'm picking up today. Like, fingers crossed. Like, wish me all the best, because I'm the one that does all the driving and the picking her up, and my spouse unfortunately has to work long hours, so he's always like just trying to like talk me up before I pick her up. And so these days it's hit or miss on who I get, who I'm picking up.
That's anxiety provoking, that, like, you say butterflies, I guess that's a nice way of putting it. It's sort of like the, you know, sweaty hands of what's this person going to be like when they get in the car. Because
yeah,
with the more so the eldest, I suppose a lot of the communication is in grunts and just sort of like one syllable words a lot of the time. And so you're almost trying to translate what they actually want. And I remember when I was a teenage girl, everybody knew exactly how I felt 100% of the time, right? Everybody. But with boys, I really noticed that. The eldest, he was so chatty when he was younger. I met him at 9, and like, I used to like wish that he would be quiet, because he just wouldn't stop. And now, well, be careful what you wish for, right? Because now it's like communicating with a stone, and you have to really, really try and figure out what it is that they want, or what they're going through. And a lot of it is hormones, 100%. Everything's in balance. They're obviously knackered all of the time. They want to be with their friends. They don't want to be with their loser family. That's the last place they want to be. And you have to try and make them happy. And it's like, I don't know what you're going to be like with me.
Nah, you don't. You don't have to try and make them happy. Don't worry about it. Yeah, that's not our job.
No.
Hard no from here too.
Putting too much pressure on yourself. Just keep them alive. Keep them out of jail. Keep them kind of off the streets. Get through this bit. And then
remember their birthday.
Then you can have fun together when they're older and they go through it.
Yeah, maybe. I'm always trying to force, like, fun.
Nah, happiness is a stretch target.
That's good advice.
That's a nice to have. It's not an essential.
Just as long as no one dies, everyone gets fed. That's the main thing.
Absolutely. That's good. That's sound advice. I'm going to take that. Thanks.
Well, Billy, I understand that too, because even the days that we do have for like the Thursday dinner, I'm always like, we can do this and this and this and this and this and have a nice, beautiful dinner and blah, blah, blah. And I'm fucking wiped at the end of the night where I'm like, why did I even do that?
You're doing it wrong.
Thursdays is when we record too. So we're just like hairs in a mess.
Looks like someone beat the shit out of me in an alley or something.
I just got jumped before I came here. It's fine.
I got emotionally jumped for sure. But it's hard too. You want to make sure that they're having a good time. I want to make sure that she wants to come back. But there's some days where it's like, yeah, no, that was a totally shitty visit. And because her, you know, attitudes were just clashing. And so at this point in time, I'm usually just like, we're going to do what we do. And if there's an attitude or if there's hormones or if she's in a mood or whatever that day, we just kind of, like me and my son, we just kind of continue on. We stay positive. We stay happy. And then she eventually joins in.
That's fair. That's nice. I think a lot of it for me is that my mom and dad are psychiatrists and coaches, and they do so much like learning of the brain and trying to decipher hidden messages. So that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to figure out if there's a hidden message, but I don't think there is a lot of the time. I just think it's that he's a teenage boy and just doesn't want to talk. But I have to reason with myself. You know, my partner says, stop overthinking everything. I can't help it. I overthink absolutely everything. So it's hard communicating with a grunter, really.
You should meet my husband. Honestly, it's crazy. I've been like, we're doing this petition, we've got all these signatures, this famous person reposted, da, da, da. Oh, okay. Great, thanks, great chat.
Mine was home this morning and I was like, yeah, I have to record at 1 o'clock with who? Thank you. Enjoy your day too.
Yeah. Yeah. Meeting? What do you mean? You do stuff?
Don't worry, your socks will still get put away.
This won't interfere with your womanly duties, will it, Amanda?
Right? Like, I'm not going to have to make my own lunch, will I?
Oh, amazing. Amazing. That was, I think, one thing that we wanted to touch on too, was, I guess, and I think we've hit a few different differences. Obviously, Amanda and I have the stepdaughters. You guys have the stepsons, and I was just curious on what the differences, I guess, would be on, you know, raising stepson versus stepdaughter. Do you find there's more of like a loyalty from your stepsons to their mom? Or do you find that they have a pretty strong bond? I'll aim this one at Billy first.
Yes. In a word.
Yeah.
Yes. About the loyalty. I think at the end of the day, their mom is always going to be their mom. I don't think that, I'm not trying to take that away from anybody. Mm-hmm. But I think there's almost this attachment of unconditional love where, you know, mum is almost like your home base. Like, that is your safe space that you go back to, you know, when the boys are really, really unwell. All they want in their here, all they want is their mum. Even I can't provide the comfort of their mum that they want. And that was really hard for me to accept at the beginning. So I was like, but I'm a woman and I'm full of love, but you want your mum. But again, it's not about it's not about me, but it's just they have a loyalty to their mum. And that's why I've always been so conscious of not bad mouthing her, because I think it would, even if they wouldn't necessarily consciously process what I was saying, something would sit with them that, oh, you know, there's an enemy against my mum kind of thing. So I'm always very, very mindful of that. So yeah, they are fiercely loyal to their mother, and understandably so.
And same with you, Jordan.
I think that would be what I would assume. Like, I think that's the stereotype, that mum son thing. You know, we've all been out with a guy once who's like that annoying mum son relationship. You know, we've all met those guys. Maybe some of us are married to them. actually, I wouldn't say that that's the case for us. Like, obviously, his mum is his mum. Like, all of us, you only get one mum. And I'm not here to try to replace that role or anything like that. But I would say that my stepson has always been more for his dad. So I think that the way... So my husband and my stepson's mum work shifts. And so what that meant was that in the early years of my stepson's life, it was my husband was basically around way more during my stepson's waking hours. So they've always been actually really, really, really close. So not that he's not loyal to his mum, of course he is. And I would never put him in a position where he had to choose to be loyal to one side, but he's actually a daddy's boy. And I wonder that about girls, though, because I imagine that the whole daddy's girl thing is probably quite true. But then also as a mother of daughters, I can't imagine there being ever anybody who could get close to like what I have with my daughters. But I know that's not the case for everyone, shall I say.
I think that's totally, I think that's totally fair. I was going to say I feel like in the beginning it was like, you know, the bond and just like, you know, like if her mom told her to keep a secret or whatever, like she always did. And the bond was pretty strong back then, but I feel like over the years it's definitely gone a little bit downhill, just kind of realizing certain values maybe that her mom has. So I feel like at this point, like, I don't know whose girl she is. I think it just depends on the day just because of puberty and everything. But, and then there's some days where she's like a Dana's girl. Like, it's crazy. The bond that we can have. And I let her work that out. I try to stay consistent, but I think at the end of the day, like she was just saying the other day, she's very much like her daddy in the sense where it's just very matter of fact. And she'll just say how she feels, and whether it hurts somebody's feelings or not, she's just very matter of fact. And she had said the other day that her mom had said, like, you are so much like your dad. You are a daddy's girl. And she was like, yep. So I think it's kind of matured itself over the years and has kind of switched.
I feel like for our situation, ours is just weird. Like, I haven't found anybody that I completely relate to. Like, I was a stay-at-home parent to my stepdaughter for 2.5 years almost before her mom had regular visitation. So for me, like, even with boundaries and stuff, like, Jordan, you were saying how your kids kind of know what to expect from you at your house. I feel that way here as well. I'm like, nah, don't play that with me. You know what I expect from you. Like, you know how I want your room clean. You know X, Y, Z. So I feel like you said, Dana as well, it really depends on the day. I feel like girls are a little bit more emotional that way. If her mom's pissed her off, she definitely is all over my husband. If he's being a shithead, she wants to be in the kitchen cooking with me, or like it really depends. But I feel like she is also on the younger end of the scale. So often I'm giving her shit because she's pushing boundaries while my 3 and 4 year old are following along. Like, oh, I didn't know we were allowed to do that. And I'm like, you're not. You all know you're not.
Yeah, that's hard with the age difference as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it really depends on the day. I feel like it just always is different.
I guess Agreed. That's something that I think is probably different between boys and girls, just listening to us chat, because you've both said that about every day could be different. And I can relate that to my 4-year-old daughter, actually, more yep. than to my stepson. So maybe that's a thing about us girls. Maybe we are quite changeable.
Yeah.
I think we have to be. Situation. I think that's our armor. Mm.
Yeah, fair enough. Do you Absolutely. Notice any big differences between raising your biological daughters and raising your stepsons?
I'm big on I'm probably quite hard on my stepson sometimes in terms of chores and what he does around the house, because I know that I will have my daughters be responsible for themselves around the house, and I don't want it to be that because he was a boy he did less. I'm not having that. We had like a big argument once on holiday because he was like complaining that he was hungry and where's his dinner, and then he didn't want to wash up, and I was like, look, I don't care that you don't want to wash up, like I feel like I'm responsible for raising a man, like someone else's husband. And I'm not going to stand for a man. How I see it is like a man sitting at my table asking me where his dinner is and then refusing to help clean up. And I'm not having it, because I feel like as a mother of daughters, I just see it from that perspective as well. And I feel that I actually worry about him more than I think I'll worry about my daughters. I think that, I don't know how things are over there, but in the UK, I just feel like gang culture and all of that is just so rife. I'm just petrified for him. I know that girls can be victim to that as well, but I mean, I walk down the street with him sometimes and he's quite a big boy, like size-wise, physically. He's quite tall. He's like almost bigger than me, to be honest. He's only 11. But we walk past a group of boys, youths or, you know, teenage boys, and I can automatically feel tension. And he's been called names before by like groups of boys when I'm walking down the street with him, and it makes me petrified. I'm honestly petrified.
Wow.
About that kind of thing. And I know I'll worry about my girls about different things probably, but I feel like maybe our generation is going to be the first that we may worry about our sons more than we worry about our daughters. But maybe it's just because my girls are still young.
Wow. Yeah, I don't feel like we have the same. It's like the gang issues aren't as in your face here as that sounds.
Yeah, I suppose it depends which areas you live in and stuff. And it's not terrible here. I don't know if it's just like hyped up by the media, but it's definitely something I think about a lot, like every day.
Wow.
Billy, do you?
Yeah, and almost lovely. Alex, my eldest, he talks about it almost every day. It's like, oh, did you see there was another stabbing here? Or did you see there was another shooting here? You know, like he's really up to speed on it. I mean, they use Snapchat, and I'm pretty certain it's all over Snapchat everywhere, all of this stuff going on. My big thing for him is that he wants to look like he's in a gang, you know, and I just think that that invites trouble. And it's it's a huge worry. And I get that, you know, with his mum, he's kind of man of the house. So he puts on a bit of bravado with her. And then when he's with us, that kind of just disappears completely. He kind of goes back to being this, he's a sweet, geeky kid, you know, that's what he is. He's super intelligent. He has got great ability to go as far as he likes, but he's going to self-sabotage himself if he doesn't continue to hang out with the right people. And I really do worry about it. And you know, where he's mixed race as well, racism is another thing that's just like, I lose sleep over that. I get super emotional about it all the time. Mm-hmm. Wait, carry on. Somebody else for a second.
Oh, it's hard.
Yeah, I understand. My stepdaughter is mixed as well. And we do feel like one day we're going to have some maybe bigger issues to acknowledge. And I'm white. I was raised I don't have a lot of experience to draw from. So that is definitely a big worry for me as well, and how I would handle it.
Maybe that's something that we need to talk about more as well as parents, not just as step parents, but just as parents in general with each other, because Billy and I had a conversation recently where she was talking to me about a situation that happened with her eldest stepson, and she was worried about how it would be perceived. And I was like, let's just say it how it is, Billy. Like, you're worried because he's mixed race, like that he will be, you know, the one that's blamed or targeted first or whatever. But I had to say it. Maybe Billy felt like she couldn't speak openly about it. And the fact that it's making Billy feel so emotional right now probably goes to show that it's something she needs to talk about a little bit more. And maybe just yeah. as mums, that's something that we can do, is like reach out to each other and support each other with that topic of conversation. Maybe that's another thing that, you know, that we can all do more to address, because it is, it's a thing. It's mm-hmm. something that worries us as parents, and it's something that we should support each other with.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah. I feel like it's touched on, like our kids are exposed to it, even if it's not something we expose them to. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I agree. I think if the lines of communication were a bit more open as far as that, then it would go a long way.
Yeah.
There's also the thing with boy bravado. Like I mentioned before about boy bravado. You know, my eldest, he has been, well, and both of them actually have been victim to racial abuse at such young ages, which just isn't acceptable in any world. But with the eldest, you know, he puts on this front of like, well, I'm just going to get him. I'm just going to go and get him back and all of this kind of thing. And it's sort of like, well, who are you, kid? Because that's really hard to navigate with, I think more so with a boy. I couldn't imagine my daughters growing up and speaking like that, you know, this whole sort of fight mode that they go into. So it's just, yeah, I mean, I don't really know how to navigate that. It's, you know, deeply upsetting. No parent wants to know that their child's being abused in any manner, like, you know, regardless of skin color, ability, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But as a step parent as well, you're trying to have a voice and an impact on how they respond to that and what they do. But it's quite hard, because sometimes you can feel a bit unheard as a stepmother because you're not their mum or you're not their parent, I suppose. So yeah,
I was just gonna add to that. I think just the repetition of just letting them know that, like, at least your home's a safe place, and hopefully their biological mom is kind of doing the same thing of just like, this is your safe place. You know, you don't need to resort to, you know, any type of hopefully physical violence when it comes to that. But nothing racial or anything, but my stepdaughter, she's been a target of bullying for many years now, and to the point where she's started self-harm as of this year. And I'm not sure if it's because of the lockdown or the bullying, or maybe it's both, or maybe it's her age and it's confusing. But I think as a kid, I was very confused and I was very angry, and I didn't feel like I had a safe place anywhere, which was a really, really lonely thing for me. And I feel like as long as they know that they can kind of, they have a safe place to either talk to you or talk to their dad or talk to their mom at somebody at some point, I think that, like, that's what we can do for them, you know, and then just gauging them on how you can respond. But I mean, as far as some of the things that you said they've had to deal with, like, have you given them any type of advice on how to deal with it, or your hands kind of tied on how to approach that one?
Well, I've kind of said, like, it's, you can't educate a person in a minute, right? You can't, like, whether it's bullying or whether it's, you know, laughing at somebody's disability or whether it's racism, whatever, your retaliation isn't going to educate them in a second. It's not going to change their views. So you have to remove yourself, and you have to think about what you can do as an individual to educate other people. You know, like when people make crude jokes about others, are you okay with that? If it doesn't sit well with you, then you need to tell your friends that it's not okay. But one thing that I have always said, especially to the eldest, I said, look, we have a unique relationship, me as your stepmom. If ever you are in a sticky situation and you feel like you can't call your mom or your dad, you just call me. You don't need to say anything. I'll be there. And then we'll figure it out. So I'll be like almost his 911 call, I suppose, that if he needs me, I'll just go. No questions asked. It won't be, let me call your mum or your dad. It's just kind of our secret emergency code. So, yeah, that's all I can do, really.
I saw this thing once, actually. I can't remember. I wish I could remember who shared it, but it's something I'm going to do. And I wish that had been done for me, is that basically, I wish I could remember where this idea came from, but the idea is that you give your kid a note and you say to them, keep this. And if you ever need to tell me something and you don't know how to start the conversation, just bring me this note and it will remind me that I'm not here to be angry, and I'll just listen and I won't react, and I'll just let you tell me whatever it is that you need to tell me. Because I remember that as a teenager, like feeling like something was happening, or I maybe wanted to tell my mum about something and just don't know how to bring it up or when's the right time. Like, imagine just having like that note that you can just bring and be like, this is my get out of jail free card, or whatever it is. Mm. Stuff like that, I think,
that's
could
a
be helpful.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually might use that one. Actually, we talk often about being in sticky situations where maybe you're at somebody else's house and maybe you're feeling uncomfortable, or you know, any type of thing. I know I've experienced it as a kid at some friends' houses. So just by calling me and saying, we have like a code word of like, hey, did you pick up those cookies at the store? And that's just code for come get me. And so
that is amazing. I'm definitely going to use that.
Yeah. So I think you're right about that one, about just like a topic. Cause I know my stepdaughter has huge communication issues, and yeah, I think she's scared of the feedback that she might get. So I think that would be really helpful as far as if there's something she needs to talk to about and I can just be quiet and listen.
Yeah. I wish I could give credit to whoever shared that, but I really can't remember.
Do you guys feel like the use of cell phones and that at such young ages are contributing to their communication issues?
Yes. yes. Next question.
My stepdaughter still doesn't have one, so I'm like, is it going to get worse when she's older?
I liked it when my stepson got a phone, actually, because then he could ring us and we could ring him. I quite liked that we had the option to communicate with him when we wanted to. But I think that the computer games are a bit problematic, but I feel really old fashioned when I say that, because I feel like our grandparents probably said that about television and stuff. But
yeah,
I've honestly noticed like my stepson is lacking basic skills that I think you learn through playing. Like, I'll give you an example. It's not really related to communication, but we went on holiday and he couldn't do a kite. He couldn't fathom that the string had to be tight for the kite to fly, and he couldn't reel it in. He had real problems with the dexterity, and I'm sure it's because he spends his whole life holding onto an Xbox controller and not playing and learning those kind of like concepts that you get from playing. So yeah, I think the computer games definitely an issue, and especially when your child is living in two different households where you'll probably have different rules in different households regarding like the usage of, you know, like what apps do they have on their phone? Do they have Snapchat? Do they have TikTok? But personally, my girls are never getting those apps ever in their whole life, as far as I can control it, until, I don't know, they sneak behind my back or whatever. But it's not my decision with my stepson, so...
Actually, yeah, the same. Last weekend when my stepdaughter was here, she asked a couple times if I would open up YouTube on the iPad. And I was like, no, we don't watch that here. We don't watch that here. And then I went downstairs and I came back up and she had opened on the TV. I'm like, what are you watching? YouTube? I'm like, perfect. Now you're not watching anything. Go play.
That's so
not
clever.
The worst thing in the world. That's for sure. Go play.
No, but it is hard when you have another household with their own set of rules, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it also depends sort of like what they start growing up with. We were looking at videos of my youngest stepson the other day. It was his 10th birthday, and we were looking at throwback videos, and there was a video of him when he was maybe 2.5, 3, and he had an iPad on his lap, and he was playing I think it's called ninja fruit, where you slice the fruit or whatever. I mean, it's basic motor skills that you're doing. And he just, that's just what he's grown up with. He's always had some sort of device. And so you can't, I mean, it's like an addiction. I can't take it away now from him, because he knows that it's, if he's not going to get it here, he's going to go to his mum's and he's going to get it. But it's about sort of how do you make it work in your favor. So for example, with Pokemon Go, it means you have to be out walking. So we'll go for a walk and we'll do Pokemon Go. Or when I tell him to have a break, then I say, right, go build some Lego, but make me your three favorite Fortnite characters or something like that. Because I still want it to be about stuff that he loves, because he loves his computer games. But I also want him to be able to use a bit of his imagination to create things. But it's hard. It's so hard. Technology is addictive. And once you're hooked, you know, I'm guilty of it, you know, talking to the kids and I'm on my phone. They learn from what they see, don't they? So,
yeah.
Yeah. And we're
I'd definitely throw a tantrum.
Huh?
I would throw a tantrum if someone tried to take my phone away. 100%.
Totally fair. I know, I've been more conscious of it. I'm like, okay, I need certain times of the day that I've marked down that I'm like, okay, I can be on my phone, I can be on Instagram. Even if it is business or anything like that, like those are the times of day that I'll do that. But I just find it, it's so difficult because you want to be available as far as working. But at the same time, it's like, I have to really value that, like, kids listening, talking in real life comes first.
I'm actually the worst. I lose my phone all the time. Like, it'll die and I'll lose it somewhere. And I'm like,
that's amazing. That's really good.
But I also, I just feel like you said, we're just so tied to it. And I feel like I am just at a point in life where I'm just overstimulated and overwhelmed by it. And I'm like, no, I don't need to be available to everybody. Like, if I'm not feeding you or you don't live with me, like, get lost.
Oh my god, this has been so insightful for me. I feel like I've learned so much. I've got so many takeaways.
Honestly, even my friends all know, like, if you don't get a reply from me in 24 hours, that's normal. Like, I'll get back to you when I get back to you.
Yeah, that's your normal.
You're not gonna hear from me again, Billy. It's over.
Okay, meet you later. Yeah,
she needs a break.
Well, that's all. I think we kind of covered a lot, I would say, today, ladies. I know we could probably go on forever. It's a nice little therapy session, but we just want to thank you guys so much for joining in and talking with us.
Thank you so much for having us. We're really honored. We don't know who we think we are coming on the podcast.
Well, we like you.
Things.
Yeah. We said when, as soon as we met you, we were like, oh, I think they're the UK version of us.
I like it. That's a good comparison. Yeah, well, really, thank you for having us. We really enjoyed it, and I think it's nice to talk about different stages of stepmotherhood and how we've kind of navigated it. So yeah, really appreciate the conversation.
Yeah, especially because you don't really so think about it till you're in it. Like, once you're in it, you're like, oh shit.
I know. I never think about these things. And then you start talking and you're like, oh my God. And you start crying and then you start remembering how hard this stuff is. It really is like therapy. Absolutely.
So where can our listeners follow you on social media?
At the Stepmum Collective. Stepmum is like M-U-M though, not M-O-M. That could
actually,
be a good
I said to Dana, I said, we can tell when the ladies from the UK are following us because it always says stepmom instead of stepmom.
Yeah, stepmom, like M-U-M. So it's the Stepmum Collective. Yeah, awesome. That's our page. Our petition is in the bio. Don't forget that. Share that, please, everybody.
Yes, your petition.
We can do this again sometime, yeah? This has been fun.
Yeah, that sounds
it is
great.
Interesting, though, with the, well, first of all, the time difference when we were trying to figure that out was we don't do that well, apparently.
We'll be fine. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for listening to another Mother Podcast and being a part of our community. And just remember, no matter how unique your situation, you're not alone.
To be a part of the show, make an episode topic suggestion, or to share your story, please email info@anothermotherpodcast.ca and make sure to follow @anothermotherpodcast on Facebook and Instagram. And please leave us a rating on your preferred podcast app if you enjoyed the show.
Woo!
Bye-bye.